Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Everybody say, relentless. Have you enjoyed this series? Oh man, this has been great. This has been a good installment, I believe, not only for the life of the church, but I think this has added value to me personally. I wanted to tell you a story as we get started. It was so cool yesterday to be here and to see on this property all the activity and everything that was happening. But, you know, we have these ball fields right over here, too, and this Healing Place Athletic Complex. And my son, Trevor's 5 years old, and he's in coach's pitch. Come on, he's in the big leagues, baby. We're no longer in T-ball. We've graduated to coach's pitch. And so he's kind of been in a slump, okay? And as a dad, you know, you pay special attention when your boy's not hitting the ball well. Come on, dads, where we at, fellas? Come on, talk to me. When the boy's, and he's not keeping his eye on the ball, you know, I'm trying to work with him and help coach him through some things. So he's been in a slump, and yesterday he started the game in his first at bat, three straight pitches, three straight swings, and misses. And so he walks back to the dugout, man, he's just hanging his head, Darwin. My heart went out to him. I could tell he was really, really discouraged. So I'm like, hey, son, keep your head up. Come on, it's going to be all right. You get that glove, you get your hat on. Come on, you run out onto the field. Come on. You don't drag out onto that field just because you struck out. Can somebody help me preach? You pick that head up and you get out there and you slap that glove and let's play ball. So then his second at bat, you know, he gets up, steps up to the plate, his second at bat, three straight pitches, three straight strikes. And I could just see him, and Trevor was fighting back the tears, you know, and it was all I could do, man. I was just trying to be a good dad. All right, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Come on, son, we can do this. We can do this. We're not going to give up. We can do this. So his third at bat, okay, it was the two outs in the last inning, and the bases were loaded. Oh, yes. How many of you know what Daddy started doing? I was praying. I was like, Jesus, please. Lord, please. If you just answer this prayer, I'll never ask you for another thing again. Come on, anybody prayed that one before? God, just do me this one, just right here for this one, and I'll let you off the hook of any. I'll never ask you for another thing again. Lord, he doesn't have to hit a home run. I'm not even asking for him to get on base. Just please help him not to strike out. And so here's Trevor up there, man. Two pitches go by, two swings, two misses. He's got two strikes on him. It's the last inning, two outs, bases loaded. That third pitch comes in, and Trevor tees that thing up, and he swings. I mean, it was powerful. You'd have been impressed. And he missed it altogether, just totally missed it. And man, I didn't know who was, I think I was crying more than he was. Man, he was just devastated. I'm like, son, it's okay. We're not giving up. But do you know this little five-year-old boy, we got home yesterday afternoon. The first thing he did was grab a bucket of balls. He put a bat on his shoulder. He said, Daddy, let's go to the backyard. We got a little practicing to do. Relentless. I pray, because some of you, maybe you came here today and you feel like, man, I'm swinging and missing. Come on. You've been swinging for the fences and it's hard for you to make contact. I pray that this series has been an installment into your life where you feel like, you know what? It doesn't matter how many times I swing and miss, I'm going back. I'm not giving up. The power you need to never give up. I pray that there's one thing that you've heard throughout this entire series. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. And I want to let the word do the work here. I want to teach straight from the scriptures. And so I want everybody, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read 8 or 9 verses out of this chapter. I love this book. I love this letter. Paul's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus. And he says in Ephesians chapter 1, he says that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Can I have a good amen? He says that in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he talks about salvation. He says, hey, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It comes to you by faith. It talks about salvation in chapter 2. And in chapter 3, he says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us, Ephesians 3, verse 20. And then in chapter 4, he says, I beg you, as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, walk worthy of your calling. And then in chapter 5, he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. How many of you were here last Sunday? We talked about being filled, being baptized with the Spirit. So Paul's final chapter in this great letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6. This is what I want to teach from today in the moments that we have remaining. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says this, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Can I have an amen? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, let me tell you where Paul is writing this letter from. He's in prison. He's in the middle of his struggle, yet he's speaking of strength. Come on, are you with me? There have been days when I have resisted struggle. I resented struggle. I didn't want to struggle. I didn't like struggle. Anything I could do to avoid struggle. But Paul said, here I am in chains. I'm locked in chains, but I'm believing God for your strength. Have you discovered that there is something within struggle that happens to us? How many of you have learned that you grow stronger? When you wrestle, when you're going through a few things, how many of you want to gain in strength? Okay, let me ask you this question. If you want to do it in the natural, you want to get stronger physically, what do? Yeah, you got to go to the gym. You got to go work out. What do in the gym? You struggle. Hello, come on. Can I have a better amen? You go to the gym and you get under some heavy weights, right? Now, your body doesn't want that. Your body screams at you and says, no, it's too much. But if you put enough weight on that bar, when you struggle underneath it, when you resist that, it's amazing the endurance and the strength over time that comes to you. Are you catching this? Paul is writing in the middle of his struggle, and yet he's speaking toward strength. I just believe this, that struggle produces strength within God's people. The last 8 months, I thought about this as a church. We've struggled through some things as a church. You know what? God has added some things to us. There's been some pressure that's been put on us as a church. But I want to let you know, as a pastor, what I see God producing in this place. There's a strength that we have that we didn't have 8 months ago. Come on. Now, you know what? We wouldn't always choose it. Some days we don't choose it. We'd rather avoid it. But it's amazing how God supernaturally can turn struggle into strength. Paul said, be strong in the Lord. How many of you, you're stronger now because of the struggle that you had back then? How many of you look back in your life and you see, man, I walked through some things. I worked through some things. But as I'm working through some things, God's doing his work through me. I'm stronger now than I was before. I'm wiser now than I was before. I'm better now than I was before. God, thank you for this struggle. It made me stronger. We don't have to resent struggle. We can embrace it. And in the middle of it, we can sense God producing something in us. Are you catching this morning? This is so good. This is so rich. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How are we going to be strong? In the Lord. Our strength is in him. And it's in his mighty power. Look at that next verse, verse 11. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to what? Come on, say it. You'll be able to what? Now, how are we standing? Okay, so we're going to put on all of God's armor so that we could stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Notice here, Paul is introducing this thing called armor. Armor is for battle. You don't need armor unless you're in a fight. It tells me something about life. Life is full of battles. Can I have a good amen? Paul says, hey, put on all of God's armor. Well, why would we need armor? Because he's saying, listen, you're going to go through a few fights. You know what I've learned? I've discovered the devil will set you up to get you upset. Sometimes we'll walk into a conflict, walk into a situation, and you know what? If we don't have the armor, then we're unprepared. Paul said, you got to put on some armor because there's a struggle, there's a fight. Now, there's something else that I've learned about opposition. Opposition doesn't always mean that you're doing something wrong. Sometimes it's confirmation that you're doing exactly right. You see, why would we say that, hey, you know, I think sometimes we buy into the idea that says that our life will be problem-free, and that's confirmation that God's with us. No, actually, the opposite may be true. You're probably in perfect relationship with God because you're running into some things. In fact, my mama used to say it like this. She'd say, if you haven't run into the devil, you might be running with him. Oh. You see, I didn't understand that as a kid. Guess what? I got revelation of that right now. Opposition, it actually validates your destiny. Because when you say yes to Jesus, how many people have said yes to Jesus? Do you know that by saying yes to him, you're saying no to a lot of other things? The spirit of this world, you're saying no to the spirit of this world. When you say yes to Jesus, immediately it puts you into opposition with mainstream society. Saying yes to God. In fact, you know, if you're gaining ground in Jesus, somebody else is losing ground. It's a battle over real estate. And I want to tell you this, the devil won't give up without a fight. You see, listen, when you were living selfishly and recklessly, man, when you had no conscience of God, look, the devil wasn't going to fight you because you were with him. But when you made a decision to switch sides, that puts you in opposition. Mike, I said yes to Jesus. Why is my life falling apart? Because you have an adversary. You have an enemy. And when he looks at you and he sees you being in Christ, he's reminded of everything that he lost. And so, yeah, there are battles, there are steps that you'll take, and there are challenges that'll be in front of you. But, you know, when you walk through opposition, you learn some things about God. You learn some things about yourself. Paul said, put on all of God's armor. I love this. Christianity, it's not a playground, is it? It's a battleground. Scripture says that we have armor that's available to us. We can have authority in earthly places because we've been given armor in heavenly places. Does that make sense? We have God-given authority here on this earth because he's given us armor from heaven. You say, Mike, how does that work? I don't really understand that. How can we be, okay, on earth, in heaven, two different places at one time? How does that work? You know, technology kind of answers that, doesn't it? Did you know that through technology, you can be in two places at one time? I mean, I could literally be here in Baton Rouge right now, but then through technology, through the internet, you know, anybody that has access to the internet, man, if they're watching in Africa right now, literally I'm in Baton Rouge, but I can be in Africa at the same time. Now, if man can create technology that puts us in two places at once, I believe that God has, it's no problem for God to have me here on earth yet operating from heaven. Does that make sense? I mean, we're physically here, but we're operating from up there. Paul said, hey, there is some armor that's available to you, so there's some authority that you can walk in. In fact, the scripture said it this way. Let me just ask you this. If God is in heaven on his throne, how many think it's a good idea for God to be on the throne? I mean, he's in control, right? There is no problem as long as God is on the throne. Who's seated at the right hand of the Father? Okay, so the Bible says that if God is on the throne and Jesus is at his right hand, God has given all authority to Jesus. Now look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is cool. Jesus made this exclamation. He says, behold, I give unto you authority and power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. So guess what? God is in heaven on the throne. Jesus is seated at his right hand, and you and I have divine authority given to us by him. And you say, Mike, why is that important? Well, it's very important because physically we're here on earth, but based on this text, what God has given us, he's given us weapons and armor because we're in a battle. Now, let's be quick to say, God's armor is available to us, but he won't put it on for us. Just because it's available to you doesn't necessarily mean that you're walking in it. Are you catching this morning? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching better than your shout. Just because it's available to you doesn't mean that he's going to put it on for you. That's why Paul said, hey, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to put on all of God's armor. You're going to have to step into it. All of God's armor. This is an analogy that's derived from the weapons of an ancient soldier. The whole armor of God. The full armor of God. There's a Greek word that actually it means complete. God has given what he's made available to you. It's complete. Can I just say this? That God will give you everything you need to do what he's called you to do. I don't know what it is that God has called you to do, but if he calls you to it, he will equip you for it. He's going to give you weapons. He's going to give you armor, but you're going to have to make a decision. I'm going to put this thing on. It's time for me to suit up. Come on. It's a dangerous thing. Now, let me ask you this. If as a nation, if we were going to war and we sent our military, we were taking action, maybe in self-defense, but we're taking action against a foreign country. If we were to send our troops without any armor, any weapons, tanks, missiles, I mean, you name it. How many of you think that defeat is imminent? Then by the same token, when we start our day as believers, we've got to step into that day and consciously put this armor on. We've got to equip ourselves for the battle. It takes all of God's armor to withstand all of the enemy's strategies. Now look at the next verse, verse 12. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Can I tell you that people are not the enemy, but the enemy uses people. People are not your enemy. I don't know what battle you're fighting. I don't know what opposition that you're up against. I don't know what your current struggle may be, but it's not flesh and blood. There's an unseen realm the scripture talks about. Are you catching this? You know, when we sit down and we counsel with couples who are maybe struggling in their marriage, one of the first things that I have to do, I try to do this early on. Sometimes you got to call a timeout. You know, because when you're in the battle, it's easy to be in the fight and you lose perspective because you're in it. Right? So you got to call a timeout and step back. And what we have to do in, as we're helping couples navigate conflict is let them, oh, timeout. Keep in mind, she is not your enemy. You're on the same team. I don't know what you're fighting. Maybe there's conflict in the relationship, but she's not the enemy. He's not the enemy. Listen, your boss is not your enemy. Your ex is not your enemy. Now, you may feel like he is. But Paul said this fight, this conflict, it's not through flesh and blood. You know, I just think this is one of the tricks of the devil himself. You know, I've seen churches split apart because they fight one another. They fight internally, fight over all kinds of crazy things, the color of the carpet. People get upset. Man, that was my seat. I used to sit right there. Can't you see? I've been sitting in the same seat for the last 10 years. Oh, I didn't like the music. I don't appreciate the music. I just don't think, well, I don't like that preacher's tie. Why is he wearing a tie today? Easter's way long gone. You see, the devil knows that he's defeated. He can't dominate the church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The enemy knows he was defeated 2,000 years ago at the cross. But you know what he's smart enough to do? Since he can't defeat the church, he'll just allow the church to fight amongst itself. So we fight internally, and we have all of this conflict, and it's about battling to win. Listen, you're not fighting your brother. You're not fighting your sister. You're fighting a spiritual adversary. I don't know who your enemies are, but they're not in this room. I don't know who your enemies are, but they're not at your house. Here's kind of the analogy, you know, it's like you're in battle and you're just, you know, I mean, guns blazing. Somebody shoots. Not me, them. Hey, over there. Finally, you're just like, and you're turning on each other, and the devil's sitting over here on the side the whole time. He's like, look at him. Isn't that great? All of this conflict, all of this turmoil, all of this trouble, and Paul's telling us, wait a second, you've got weapons, you've got armor, but watch this. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not physical. There's spiritual. There's a supernatural realm. Don't be drawn into battle with your haters. Come on now. I'm gonna set somebody free in here today. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Your haters. How many know what that means? You understand that. Because everybody will criticize something. And the minute you try to step out to do something great for God, you will catch heat from someone. You'll get emails that won't be very nice. You'll get text messages. You'll hear rumors. People will talk about you. In fact, sometimes that'll keep you from stepping out and really doing something great because you're afraid to be criticized. Listen, Jesus himself was criticized. My goodness, every city that Paul went in to preach, they either ran him out of the city, they stoned him, they left him for dead. They couldn't stand Paul. In fact, Paul, if he went to preach in a city and they loved him, he'd have to check his theology, make sure he was preaching the gospel. Haters, don't get drawn into a war of words with your haters. It's simply a distraction. Don't do it. It's a trick of the devil. You know, several years ago, and Johnny remembers this because back in the day when we were doing School of Ministry, we took about 40 or 50 of our students. Joyce Meyer was in Baton Rouge, and she was teaching down at the Centroplex, down at the River Center. So we said, hey, well, let's cancel class tonight, and let's go see Mama Joyce. Come on, how many know Mama Joyce? She's going to tell it like it is. She's going to make you eat your spinach, and you're going to love her for it. You know, she's Mama. So we said, okay, let's go downtown. Let's take our students, and let's be a part of this thing with Joyce. And so we get downtown, and there are protesters outside of the Centroplex. People that are saying some not nice things, yelling and shouting at people as they're walking in the building, thinking, wow, that's interesting. So we kind of make it through all the sea of craziness, and we get inside the building. It was a great night, man. Oh, the Spirit of God moved. It was powerful. We're leaving the building, and the haters are still there. Come on, how many know haters are going to hate? They just feed off of that hater raid. Give me some of that hater raid. They drink it up. We're just trying to stay low. Let's get out of here. Let's get back into our vehicles. And I hear in the midst of all the craziness and all the shouting and people having signs and getting all red in the face and veins popping out of their you know, that's just the spirit of religion, isn't it? I mean, hey, there ain't nothing like a mean Christian. I'd rather fight the devil and all of his demons than go up against one mean Christian. Yelling and screaming. I heard this. Mike Heyman? Is that you, Mike Heyman? When somebody calls your name, you know, you just stop. I shouldn't have stopped. I should have just kept on rolling. Get over here, Mike. I want to talk to you. And now we got 40 or 50 of these, you know, School of Ministry interns with us. I'm thinking, man, what in the world? This ain't getting ugly fast. How many know that in your flesh, come on, that'll just stir up your flesh. They don't call me the Bishop of Biceps for nothing. There are some days when I want to go Old Testament on somebody. Come on. We ain't turning the other cheek. We going eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He called me out, started ripping me. And I'm like, I felt like God said, don't engage. Come on, how many know there are rules of engagement now? Don't fight fire with fire. You got an audience here. I said, I don't have anything to say to you. What? Is that the love of God? I want to talk to you right now. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have to hurt this guy. Listen, I don't have anything to say to you. If you want to say something to me, send me an email. And we rolled. We got out of there. Listen, I got to the office the next day. He had sent me an email. It was a 3-page manifesto. I'm telling you, people can take the word of God and make it say whatever it is they want it to say. And just line upon line, just blowing me out of the water. And so you know what? I felt like, wow, he went to great lengths to send this email. It deserves some sort of response. How many of you have sent an email, but before you type it up, but before you send it, the Holy Spirit kind of reels it back in? Yeah. Thank God the Holy Spirit rescued me from that one, because I was... Delete. So I just sent one scripture is all I said. Just one. Just one verse. And in fact, I didn't even type out the verse. I just put the reference. I put Nehemiah 6:3. Send. Some of you are like, man, what does Nehemiah 6:3 say? It says, this is when Nehemiah was building the wall. And he had those haters kind of trying to draw him into debate. Nehemiah 6:3 says this: I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down to you. That's all it was. Ain't nobody got time for that. Hey! I'm doing a great work. Don't draw me into that. See, haters want to pull you down into their misery too. Listen, the love of God is calling me higher. So I send Nehemiah 6:3 to him, and he fires back with a 5-page manifesto. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. Don't be drawn into debate with your haters. It's simply distraction. It's distraction from what God has called you to do. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not natural. There's a spiritual enemy. There's something happening in the heavenlies. There's an unseen world that we've got to be dialed into. It's not flesh and blood. Your brother is not your enemy. Your sister is not your enemy. Your spouse is not your enemy. Your boss, your children, whatever your conflict is, it's not flesh and blood. Don't fight this thing on a battlefront that it was not supposed to be. Therefore, verse 13, therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore. Anytime you see that word in scripture, you need to know what it's there for. Put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. How many of you know we are living in evil days? He says, put on every piece. Not just a few pieces, but put on all the pieces of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy. Now watch this. Then after, everybody say after. I love that, because after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. When it's all said and done, when the dust finally clears, guess who's still standing? Maybe you've had some hard things come against you. You've had some mean things said about you. You had moments where you felt like you stepped up to the plate and you kept striking out. When the battle is done, after the battle, the scripture says, you'll still be standing strong. I've taken a few hits. Maybe the devil's punched me in the mouth, but guess what? I'm not going home. I'm standing right here. The word stand, it means, it's a Greek word that means to hold a watch post or to stand and hold a critical position on the battlefield while under attack. It means to take your position and you will not budge. It's choosing to believe the promises of God over the lies of the enemy. It's standing your ground. It says, I'm not moving. I'm determined. This will not be the end of me. This will not overtake me. It will not steal God's plan for my life. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to stand. You see, when you decide to stand, then God gives you the power to stay there. You put on the armor, you assume the position, the weapons that God has given you in the middle of the fight, and you make up your mind, I'm standing. When you decide, then God's power helps you stay right there. After the dust settles, I'm still standing. Maybe you got a doctor's report and it wasn't good. The doctor said it's cancer. You make a decision. I'm going to stand anyway. Maybe you were abused as a child. You were never given a chance. You've carried hurt and heartache for a long time, but you find yourself here. God, I'm still showing up. I'm still coming to this house. I'm still believing for healing in my life. He's not going to knock me out of the promises or the purposes that God has for me. Maybe you're walking through a terrible divorce. Stand your ground. Maybe your parents said you'd never amount to anything. Stand up. Fighting through addiction. You've lost a few battles. You take a stand. I'm not going to lose this war. Maybe you've lost your job. Questions about your future. The devil did his best, but guess what? His best wasn't enough. You're still standing. You're still standing when it's all said and done. Maybe you fell down. Mike, I've fallen down a few times. You know what the scripture says in Proverbs 24, verse 16? I love this. The scripture says, the godly may fall seven times. They're going to trip up seven times. How many days are there in a week? You may fall every day of the week, but you make a decision, I'm getting back up again. Having done all the stand, the scripture says, keep standing. Run when you can, walk if you have to, crawl if you must, but never, ever, ever give up. You see, the devil will do his best to bring you to a place called quit. Come on now, am I talking to anyone? Some of you maybe visited that place. Don't take residence within the city limits of quit. The devil wants your dream to die at a place called quit. You know where you'll find your miracle? On the other side of quit. Guess who helps you get to the other side of quit? Jesus. Having done all to stand, take upon the full armor of God. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, because God said so. Faith. Mike, I don't understand that. Faith, let me say that again. Faith is acting as if it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so. Why? Because God said so. Last time I checked, what God says is more important than what anybody else says. We need to make a decision to say what God says. Doesn't Romans 4:17 say that God has the ability to call those things that be not as though they are? Why don't we come into agreement with God? Because he says so. Now let me wrap this up. I'm having way too much fun up here. Verse 14, let's land this plane. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. Verse 16, in addition to all of these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery darts, the arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now you see the weaponry. Do you see the arsenal? There are six different things, and I don't even have time to go through all of this. This could be another sermon series. We could just talk about spiritual warfare and talk about each and every specific weapon. There's six things on here. But I want you to know, from head to toe, you are complete. The helmet of salvation, what does a helmet do? It guards your mind, your thoughts. the breastplate of righteousness, the body armor of righteousness. What does body armor guard? Your heart. The belt of truth. What does your belt do? It holds it all together. Come on now. Your feet are prepared with the gospel of peace. Then you have a shield called faith, and you've got a sword of the Spirit, complete from head to toe. You are fit and ready for battle when you have God's armor. Do you know that one place you don't have the armor of God? It's for your back. Did you notice that? There's nothing for your back. Why? Because as the body of Christ, we're supposed to have each other's back. I wonder, do you have someone who says, I got your back. I know you've been hurting. I know you've been struggling. I want you to know I'm praying for you. I got your back. I hear what they say about you, but don't listen to your critics. I believe in you. You are God's man for God's hour. I got your back. In fact, some of you would do good to send an email to somebody or shoot them a text and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm for you. I'm with you. I got your back. We need, as an army of believers, to stand for each other. We got each other's back. Listen, we're in this battle together. We're fighting together for eternal purposes. God's got us. We got to guard each other. And let me ask you this final question. Head to toe, armor. What good is all the armor of God without the warrior on the inside? Got to have the spirit of a warrior. You can have weapons, you can have armor, you can have equipment, you can have that all that arsenal, but if you don't have that warrior spirit, I wonder if there's somebody here today who's got that warrior spirit inside of them. I think I might be in the company of a few people who know how to fight, who says, I'll go to battle with you. You lead the way. I got your back. I'll step into conflict with you because when you draw your sword, I'll draw my sword. I wonder if we've got a generation of men and women who will stand up and fight. Because we can have weapons and armor, but if we don't have that warrior spirit inside of us, what good is it? Let me tell you about a family, a relentless family. You may not be aware, but this month is nationally recognized as Autism Awareness Month. There's a young man that's been a part of our church for 12 years now. And if anyone knows about a warrior spirit, if anyone knows anything about relentless, it's this young man, Liam Reynolds. Liam was diagnosed with autism in April of 1998, 15 years ago. His prognosis was grim. His parents were told that he would never speak again. He would have no real communication. It could possibly be institutionalized down the road. At the time, his father, Aiden, and his mother, Shelley, had Liam, who was 2, and Marin, who was only 6 weeks old. Shelley, the mom, was struggling with postpartum depression, and now this on top of everything, overwhelmed with grief, wishing she could just die. She actually drove herself to the emergency room at Lady of the Lake Hospital and asked them to keep her safe from herself. A few weeks later, the depression turned into rage. She found herself so angry. She said, God, this is not what I had planned for my life. Autism was not supposed to be a part of the plan. I'm supposed to have a two-career family, a healthy daughter, a healthy son, a dog, and a home that's alive and growing. Not this. I never bargained for this. Then one night after a huge pity party. Anybody know anything about a pity party? After a huge pity party, she drifted off to sleep. And she asked God, please give me my son back. Lord, I'll do whatever it is, whatever you want me to do. But you're going to have to tell me everything because I can't figure this out on my own. The next morning when she woke, she felt so strongly that God wanted her to start an organization that could help families with autism and to believe that one day Liam would be fully restored to health. With the help of a few ladies, she started a nonprofit called Unlocking Autism. God's opened tremendous doors for Shelley to speak on behalf of families and children battling autism. Her pain has now become her platform. In fact, that first picture that we showed of Liam at 3 years old, it was snapped by CNN. when they were filming at their house. CNN aired the piece in October of 1999 in 33 different countries and was the first national piece ever done on autism. Time magazine also did a follow-up story and used the same picture. 5 years ago, Shelley started working for Autism Speaks to become a national full-time professional advocate for families with autism. Talk about relentless faith and commitment. Shelley said this, a huge part of our journey as a family on the road to healing and restoration, it began when we first started coming to HPC in October of 2001. Her family was falling apart, but God led them here. She said Liam was crazy during services. It was extremely hard to get him up there to keep him calm. He would scream and wiggle and just cause so much commotion. But listen to what Shelley discovered. She said the people of HPC embraced our family just as we are. And they told us to sit right up front, wherever we needed to go. Don't worry about a thing. Don't you love that about your church? Liam eventually learned how to sit in his seat, and he was able to pay close attention to everything. He especially loves worship. Shelley said, our family has gone from brokenness to a family that now gets along and loves each other. Aiden, Liam's father, and I, we've learned how to forgive and work together. She said, I can't put a price tag on what God has done to restore our family. Autism has a way of isolating the whole family. It's extremely draining. She said, but at HPC, we have found a spiritual family. You've set out to be a healing place for a hurting world, and you were a healing place for a very, very hurting mom and two children and a family that you've given 12 years of support to, and you probably never even knew that. All of that support is multiplied and carried over to families all across this country who face autism. So 15 years later, a child who was given no hope for the future, he can indeed speak. A boy who, when he was little, would just sit and stare into space for hours. They said he was unreachable. They said he was totally lost. But now, get this, Liam is in mainstream school with a modified curriculum at Broadmoor High School. And get this, this year he made the honor roll. And he's a junior ROTC. He received his Star Scout ranking in the Boy Scouts and is now working toward becoming an Eagle Scout. He's held a job at McDonald's for a year now, and he loves all things Disney. A family that was in shambles is now being restored, and they discovered the power that you need to never give up. Here's my favorite part of the story. Every Sunday, check this out, every Sunday for the last 3 years, when Liam has attended church with his mom, he fills out a Get Connected card every Sunday. Fills out a Get Connected card, and he checks the box that he wants to commit his life to Jesus. So Shelley and Liam, they've talked a lot about what that means, following the Lord. She wasn't sure how much he actually understood, but then on January 13th of this year, without any prodding from his family, without any questions, Liam told his mom, he said, Mama, I want to be baptized in April at HPC if they let me wear a swimsuit and a t-shirt because I don't want to mess up my church clothes. So today, this morning, in our 9 o'clock service, we had the privilege of baptizing Liam as a spiritual family. And I wanted you to see the video of that baptism. Why don't you turn your attention to the screen and check out Liam getting baptized.
And Liam, as a church, man, we love you so much and couldn't be more excited. And talking to your mom and family, it's just so awesome to see that God still does miracles. And being told, your mom was telling me at an early age, doctors saying that you would never speak. And here you are today confessing Jesus through your own mouth that he is Lord and Savior. And 17 years old, and man, God is going to use you in such a great way. So it's an honor to baptize you. Church, why don't we pray for Liam? If you don't mind, stretch your hands out this direction towards us. Lord, we thank you for this life.
Yes, God.
God, we thank you that you are a miracle God.
Yes, Jesus.
That Jesus is through you. And we thank you for Liam, that his faith is in Jesus, and his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that
yes.
he is saved, that
yes.
he is sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, God.
And as a church, Lord, we just pray for this family. We thank you that your hand is just so rich upon them. Mm. Lord, just bless everything that they do. And I ask that in the future, just as you've already done, that people will see Jesus through him. We thank you for that, God. You're so faithful. And right now we come together. Go ahead and pray. And baptize you, Liam, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' mighty name.
Come on, church. Come on, isn't that awesome?
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.